The sudden power failure that turned out lights across much of the northeastern U.S. and part of Canada this past week has people talking about the condition of America's electrical infrastructure. But what about the condition of the rest of the country's critical infrastructure? David Schultz is director of the Infrastructure Technology Institute at Northwestern University, and he joins us from the Northwestern campus in Evanston, Illinois. Hello, Professor Schultz.
Good morning.
First of all, what are we talking about? What systems are we talking about when we talk about infrastructure?
Well, we're talking about roads, bridges, transit systems, drinking water and sewer and wastewater disposal systems, talking about ports and waterways, airports, and then we talk about the private railroads and the electric power system, the pipelines that are necessary to get petroleum products around the country, and then there's a whole telecommunications infrastructure.
Goodness. Let's start with one. How are America's highways holding up?
According to the American Society of Civil Engineers report card in 2001, a third of the major roads in the United States are poor or mediocre. And the Federal Highway Administration last year issued a report on the 2002 conditions and performance of America's highways. And they say that we're underinvesting. They say that we would need to invest 11% more money than we are collectively, local, state, and federal government, simply to maintain our current road system in its current condition. And we would have to invest nearly 57% more in order to improve those roads.
What about the bridges?
Well, bridges were actually doing a better job. ASCE found that 29% of the bridges were structurally deficient or functionally obsolete, and that's down from 31% a couple of years before. So we have been paying down the backlogged investments in American bridges, but we still have nearly a third of them, which either aren't providing the service that they were designed to or the design that they were originally made for is obsolete.
We heard what happened in Cleveland after the power went out, particularly to the water system there. What about the rest of the country? What's the condition of the water system?
The water system is an interesting case because the water utilities can raise rates to provide the capital that they need to reinvest in their system. Yet the American Society of Civil Engineers found that there was an $11 billion per year shortfall between what should be invested in the water systems of the United States and what actually is invested. There's been a lot of discussion on Capitol Hill of a drinking water capital program, but so far there's really been no action.
We've heard a lot about our railway system, particularly about the financial difficulties that it's in. But what kind of shape are the tracks in?
Well, I think one of the good news stories of the second half of the 20th century in American transportation is really the revival, pretty much from the dead, of the American freight railroad system. If you recall, sort of the low point around 1970 when the railroads gave up the ghost on passenger rail, there was a lot of people who thought that railroads would be condemned to a slow or perhaps even not so slow decline. And instead, railroads now carry more freight than they've ever carried. And generally, I think it's good to be upbeat about the condition of America's railroads. But the railroads do appear to be having problems raising adequate amounts of capital in the private financial markets. And there's a lot of discussion nationally about public-private partnership to allow the railroads to draw on some public resources where it makes sense from a public benefit perspective. In Chicago, the railroads, local government, and state government recently announced a program to streamline the Chicago hub at a cost of $1.2 billion, and the railroads would share that cost with the state, local, and federal governments.
What about alternative forms of energy? I mean, other than power plants and...
Well, you've got an interesting situation going on now out in Cape Cod. An entrepreneur has proposed putting a wind farm off of Cape Cod, which provide most of their electric needs in a completely pollution-free way. And it's interesting that the same people who pose for holy pictures as environmental activists are now tremendously upset over the prospect that this would defile the beautiful seascape at Cape Cod and are organizing and petitioning and so forth. And I think that's a symptom of the fact that not in my backyard or NIMBY is morphing into banana, build almost nothing anywhere near anyone. And one can only hope it doesn't go to the ultimate extreme of NOPE, N-O-P-E, not on planet Earth.
Ever since September 11th, there's been a lot of attention centered on America's vulnerability to terrorists, particularly with regard to our infrastructure. What lessons might be learned about this past week's blackout? What lessons might be learned about just the basic maintenance of the infrastructure?
I think that overall, there's the American Society of Civil Engineers report card, which I cited earlier, said over 2 years ago, and I'm going to quote here, the U.S. energy transmission infrastructure relies on older technology, raising questions of long-term reliability, unquote. So people have seen this coming, and people in the energy industry have seen this coming. My guess is that the events of August 14th are going to stimulate significant federal interest as well as state and local government interest and private utility interest in taking a real hard look at the electric grid and the transmission system. The interesting thing is that we had a warning shot on this one, too, because while many of the California energy problems of 2.5 years ago were attributed to the fact that they hadn't built a new power plant in the state of California in over 20 years, what happened is that when they began experiencing significant power shortages, they discovered that their connections to the national grid were inadequate to bring in enough electricity to power them. And so we did have an early warning. We didn't pay attention. Hopefully we'll pay attention to this one.
David Schultz is a professor of civil engineering and director of the Infrastructure Technology Institute at Northwestern University. He joined us from the campus in Evanston, Illinois. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.